Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Okay, I was setting up my Odyssey. A based Saxon has sent a tweet from Way of the World. Okay. Wow. Just trying to view your tweet. Does not work. Page not found, my friend. So sorry, I cannot report on your tweet. JF got that Bitcoin glow tonight. Actually, I was thinking about starting the show by yelling, Bitcoin! Oh, Bitcoin is rising. Man, it hurts for those who couldn't get in time, but Bitcoin is already rising. It's been surprising me. I've been telling my friends and you guys, you know, you got a couple of months to buy it, but sooner than later is better. And it turned out that you had to react quick to my counseling because Bitcoin is already almost doubled from what it was at the bottom. Holy shit, are we entering a massive gold? I'm saying gold because gold is trending on Twitter, but we're entering a bull, not gold, but a bull run. Go away says, stop it, I am a no-coiner, and this is making me upset. Well, I mean, it's like, how many years can you spend watching JFG Tonight, hanging out with us, and, you know, you've missed one bull run, maybe. Now you're missing a second bull run. Sometimes I have the impression there will be people watching and listening to me in 4 years from now, and they'll be like, Bitcoin is going to zero. JF, I'm not believing you this time. It's like, yeah, every time I told people buy Bitcoin, it has materialized in massive wins. Massive wins. I told people to buy Bitcoin at 7,000 in the last bull run. I told you guys to buy it at 16K this bull run. I mean, at this point, if you don't listen to me, and on top of it, I'm producing shows where I explain everything about how to punch your steel plates, everything about how to keep your coins off the exchanges. My friends, if you've been listening to Papa JF, just listening to Papa JF, you should have made a whole return on your investment of time. And even if you've been sending super chats, you should have made returns on those super chats too. End of the line, Joel was saying, non-whites have been emboldened by 50 years of anti-white propaganda on television, the internet. A liberal elite have enforced this narrative of white men bad. Everything from Hollywood comedies, Will Ferrell movies, to chart music and TV commercials portrays whites as evil and or dumb. Whites themselves have been conditioned to have an out-group preference, at least among the left-wing types. It is a preference for self-destruction. Beautifully said. And we have a Vox Pop today, which reveals what we all knew, what was the case, but black people, you know, are hateful. Some of them are hateful against white people, and they don't even hesitate to talk about it, because although white people have been targeted with quite some censorship, it's not been the case that black racism against whites has been punished. If anything, it's been rewarded by society. And so they have nothing to fear. They have no one to correct them. There is this footage from, I don't know, motor races. I don't know how it's called, motorcycle races. This is unbelievable. Is this a video game? This doesn't look like a video game. It seems like real footage to me. Man would literally rather drive 150 miles per hour on country roads in a tax haven than go to therapy. Yeah, it does sound like this is a description of the island of man, whatever that is, a place where race happen. 1995, flashback. Holy shit. This is fucking hilarious.
Hey, why should I be on the internet?
Why?
Well, by the time we're in college, the internet will be our telephone,
television,
shopping center, and workplace.
And it's already got more stuff in it than you could possibly imagine.
In less than an hour, you can
visit the planet Jupiter, take a tour of the Sistine Chapel,
do research on the rainforest,
get soccer scores for a team in Italy,
chat with a friend in Australia,
and I even found a recipe for cat food cupcakes.
It is as much a part of the future as we are.
Shouldn't everybody be on the internet?
Yes! Yes!
Ask how you can get on the internet at your school or local library. Oh my god, this is so fun. I can't believe that publicity like this was needed, whereas today people are just automatically attracted to it just by the simplicity of life that it offers. Brett Weinstein and Eric Weinstein, there are a lot of coverage of their statements and a lot of editing. Although I don't like video editing, I don't think that those clips are taken out of context. I think they present the real statements of these guys.
That one of the hazards of the...
I don't like when they do voice modification to make them sound graver than they truly are.
Woke emphasis on race and the demonizing of the concept of what they call whiteness was that it was going to drive white people together, and that was going to be a disaster, not only for everybody, but especially for people who aren't white, that this was going to affect...
The problem with this argument, and Brett has been doing this for years, the problem with this argument, Brett, is that white people don't deserve respect because they could potentially go after Jews or blacks. White people should be respected because they are an amazing resource, they are amazing people to live with, and they deserve respect just as human beings, even in your humanitarian leftist framework. So it's like, it shouldn't be a response to a threat that leads you to respect white people. You should appreciate that you benefit from the luxury of living in a white society, of having white neighbors, which saves you a lot of trouble. And as soon as you don't have this, you will be moving you too. Brett Weinstein. You will be seeking, where can I move? You might not do it consciously. You might not want to say it explicitly, but the minute your whatever area where you live, the minute it's covered with other people than white people, you'll be the first to move away to a place where there's more white people. The reason you should respect white people is not scared of the potential, their potential recruitment of the political process to defend themselves against the genocidal project that is currently being enacted against them, nor for the fact that white people could coordinate religiously and politically to ensure that the hate that is driven against them right now in current society and the systemic racism of affirmative action gets combated. You should respect white people, not because you're afraid of them. They're the last people on the list that you should be afraid of. And yet, they're always the first to be mentioned by you, Brett. The big problem of your argument there, it's a pragmatic argument where you frame it as a political strategy to respect white people. A little bit like you were in bed with the project against them, and you're saying to your leftist friends, let's just shut up about this aspect of race. Let's boil the frog slower than we are currently boiling it.
Effectively take this potentially powerful, you know, lineage or pseudo lineage, and it was going to inflame it and cause it to gather. And because it's a majority, you know, compared to the next largest lineage in the U.S. at least, that was going to be.
That made a lot of eyebrow raises. The fact that he called white people a pseudo lineage. And, you know, you have to grant it to Brett here. That is not necessarily wrong. There are certain ways in which you could group white people where they are not a lineage. Like, you could group white people from Western Europe and Russia, and it will boil down to a lineage. That would be my point to Brett, I guess. It's just a larger lineage than you thought. But yeah, it's always a lineage. I mean, but down there we are also in a lineage with lions and bacteria. But yeah, to call white people a pseudo lineage, I think is not the right way to approach this. Would he call the Jews a pseudo lineage? Would he call the ethnic Jews, the racial Jews, Ashkenazi Jews, a pseudo lineage? That came to mind as a question. Not that he necessarily has to have the same response to this, but I'm wondering to what extent could we prod this pseudo lineage? Because white Europeans are a race. They are a group of people that is recognizable genetically, that shares common ancestry, and their genetic similarity is due to ancestry. That's a lineage. That's not a pseudo lineage.
An extremely dangerous thing to do. So it was a warning from me saying, don't do this. This is dumb, especially if your concern is the well-being of people who are from minority populations.
You are creating the...
Well, why don't you ever have concerns for people who are in the majority population, Brett? Why don't you stand against the racism against white people? You've done something that could have been interpreted as a stance against anti-whiteism when you make your stand at Evergreen, but you turned it into a whole Holocaust narrative of, well, I'm Jewish, they're trying to oppress me. When is it that we hear it from Brett? White people should be respected. White people should be loved. White people should not be hated. White people should not be discriminated against in the workplace. White people shouldn't be defamed. White people shouldn't be lied about. White people should organize if these things are done to them. When do we hear this one from Brett?
The very coalitions that you would have us believe are the most dangerous coalitions that exist.
Right. And Scott Adams.
The most dangerous coalition that exists. The one race that has created the countries everyone wants to live in. The one race that has created basically the modern world as we know it and has influenced other nations into modernizing themselves with it. The one race that has created the legal system in which everyone, at least in the ideal, would want to be ruled by. This is and also the race with the least criminal characteristics that you can think of, in the sense that if you are in the US, you either want to live among Asians or whites if you want to reduce your chances of getting raped or murdered. And they call that race the most dangerous coalition that could possibly exist. Unbelievable.
Is giving voice to the thing that will cause people to gather. What he says in this clip is literally, look, if people aren't okay with white folks, then I suggest white.
Now he's commenting on Scott Adams.
White folks get away from.
And you say, like, you know, somebody.
So as far as the Scott Adams comment, Scott Adams is merely saying, if you are presented with hate, escape it. Isn't that what the Jews would do? Isn't that what the Jews would tell the blacks to do? And so how is it that it's not what whites should do? Why is it that whites cannot tell each other, even, you know, in the absence of anyone from any other race, just as a conversation among white people, why can't we talk about withdrawing from the hate that is directed at us? It's because ultimately the left wants you to go through this hate. They want you to experience it. They want to be able to continue bashing you while you stay there and apologize and kneel. Now, the clip move, and of course, I don't like the editing, because the editing, adding music, adding drama, adding words, adding modifications of voice, I don't like it, but I still want to cover the fundamental statements in the clip, because, well, I watch those podcasts, so I know that the clip is not taken out of context. I watch the Joe Rogan podcast, I watch the Brett podcast. So I know that if you can side the visual editing and the audio editing, I know that what they are saying here is not being misrepresented through clipping.
Not you, but somebody said, well, the Jews consider themselves the chosen people. Do you know why we're chosen? We view ourselves as chosen, not because like we're the best, because we're responsible. We believe that we are responsible for this plan. And we unleashed, we Jews, Edward Teller and Stanislav Ulam, both Jews.
So a lot of people were asking me about this. What does he mean when he says we Jews have unleashed the power of the sun? Well, it may mean a couple of things. Perhaps Eric Weinstein has been watching too much of the movies about space fiction. There's this movie about the sun and how there's a spaceship advancing toward the sun and some guy just goes full horror like, I want to expose myself to maximum photons. It sounds kind of this horror movie about the sun that what Eric Weinstein is describing, but what he's probably talking about in the power of the sun being unleashed by Jews, he's claiming the invention of the atomic bomb to Jews and the fact that the atomic bomb, at least some of them, rely on a fusion principle. And the sun is fusion, see? So we have unleashed the power of the sun onto the earth.
Unleashed the power of the sun on the planet, which is dooming us to a very bad end. And I believe that we are chosen in the sense that it is our responsibility, not our privilege, not our this, not our that, not that we're on top, but it's our responsibility to shepherd the birth of the human race.
Shepherd the human race. This will go down in history in terms of a statement. That was Eric Weinstein trying to basically engage with Jewish question-related talking points, doing it in a poor way, in my view, doing it in a way that, if anything, makes it worse. The fact is, there is no proper shepherding that can come from these guys as long as they don't accept to abandon their double standard when it comes to looking at their own and looking at others. And as long as they don't do this, as long as they don't leave the double standards behind, leave the cognitive dissonance behind, and look for real about the last few decades of American military and governmental action and ask, is it reasonable to say that Israeli influence has been negative on the whole on white society? That is the question they have to ask. Is it possible that when Benjamin Netanyahu uses the power of American lobbying of the Israeli community and gets America involved in wars that it has no interest in, is it possible that ultimately white people are dying because of bad shepherding here? And I'm using shepherding because it's the word of Eric Weinstein, but I don't see this as shepherding. I see this as shepherding sheep down the raven of death. Carl Benjamin says, Andrew is taking a legitimately heroic stand here. The speech would get you deplatformed from everything. He's saying it in Parliament. I don't know if it's the English accent, but I had actually difficulty even understanding whether this was an anti-vax or pro-vax statement.
The data is clear. For all healthy people and all those considered at risk under 70, the probability of being seriously harmed by COVID are seriously outweighed by the risk associated from the experimental vaccines and boosters, even for the most vulnerable.
Okay, so I wasn't sure about the outweighed, but it does seem that he was saying the vaccine hurts you more than the virus. And eventually, well, even a political speech like this in Europe, the video has been removed for violating YouTube's community guideline. YouTube have taken down the speech I gave in Parliament today. I am an elected member of the UK Parliament. The speech was given in the chamber of the House of Commons and responded to by a government minister. What chance has anyone else got of putting their views on YouTube? YouTube continues to suck in their handling of the public conversation. Men Like Gods says nukes were developed by a bunch of Jews who cribbed the work of Anglo-physicists without attribution. Really? I mean, I've heard these claims. I've heard this claim about Albert Einstein. I would have to... And we're going to have a Christopher Nolan movie soon about the bomb, Oppenheimer. And so I can't wait to see what this will be about. I can't wait to see how it will be represented on screen. I have the highest respect for Christopher Nolan. Go away, says JF. The Weinstein are not wrong, though. There is only one race that is an existential threat to Jewish people, and that is the white race. No getting around this simple fact. The thing is, no. White people cannot abolish the Jewish people. The Jewish people are a total of 16 million people, or, you know, I don't know if the counts have been updated since, but we're talking about a miniature section of humanity. You couldn't find them if you tried. They're like if they were to just set their life on their own existence, their family, and continuing their reproduction, you couldn't find them. You couldn't even hear about them. You couldn't pursue a political project against them because they're so few. It's like, what's the total Amish population? Total Amish population. I can't believe I have to Google this too. Total Amish population. A couple hundred thousands. So the Jews are like one order of magnitude more numerous than the Amish. And they are spread across the world, whereas the Amish are not spread across the world as much as the Jews. So, there's no existential threat to the Jewish people. There is none. What there is a paranoia. A paranoia that is racial in nature. A hate against white people. I think that's what we are faced with when we see Brett Weinstein willing to invite a bunch of black people onto his show to discuss the interest of the black community, the political coordination of the black community. But then he says the same thing done by white would be the most dangerous thing. The most dangerous thing. The most dangerous coalition. That is pure paranoia. And this very paranoia is what creates tensions racially. When you have a paranoia that is racial in nature to begin with, you end up doing first strikes against people who don't deserve it. You end up going after the right of, for example, whites to coordinate when you should have let them coordinate. You should have let them talk about their issues with the current state of anti-white hate in America. Go away says, okay, I'll revise my statement. White people are not an existential threat to Jewish people, but they are the only existential threat to Jewish power. Ha! Now you have a distinction. Very interesting. And maybe you're right on this one. But why would you want to have overrepresentation in power positions if you're 16 million people or whatever amount of millions of people that you would consider Jews on planet Earth? There is no reason for these people to be holding disproportionate power. There is no reason for them to be afraid of that power being stolen from them. Just accept your position. I don't see the Amish complaining that they're not represented on the Supreme Court. The vox pop on white people, this vox pop is a very good idea because it gives us the full realization in case people hadn't realized. Personally, it's not any surprise to me, but it gives you the idea of how regular people on the street think about white people, in this particular case, two black women.
Agree or disagree with the following statement. It is okay to be white.
No, that's not okay. It's terrible to be white.
No.
What should white people do about that?
There's not like, much y'all can do, but Scott deal with it.
What should I do about it?
So our position is, no, it's not okay to be white. It's terrible. And you should do something about it.
That, do you think?
Try not to be white.
That's
all you could do at this point.
The first thing that would happen if all white people tried so hard to not be white that they weren't white is that she would want to move away into a region where there's more white people, because she would be in basically a dumpster of a city with high crime rates, and her 9-year-old baby could get shot through a wall because of a gang war. The first thing that she would want to do, if white people did exactly what she's asking them to do, she would have to move away or possibly die from murder in her own area.
No. Is it okay to be Asian?
Nah, you don't want to be them either. Mm-mm. Nah.
How about black?
Oh, so the Asians are white adjacent, so they are hated as much as the whites.
Definitely that. That's it. It's all you could be. It's the coolest thing to be. I mean, you really, after that, you talking bottom of the barrel, really. Asian, that's probably worse than being white, ain't it?
A lot of people that we would speak to today would call what you're saying racist.
Yeah, I am racist.
She is racist. That, at least she is admitting it. There's a lot of people who will construct, oh, well, racism is about power. I don't have power, therefore I'm not racist. At least she understands what she's saying.
Are you serious? Or are you?
100%.
So you just don't like white people as a whole?
No.
Y'all got too much. Yeah, y'all got too much.
Who wanna be white?
I mean, what's the cost of this woman not liking white people? Like, she's not going to be selected in the dating sphere. But it's like, for her, hating white people is hating a group to which she will never have access to. She will never interact with. She will never have to date a white man. So really, she's hating a group out there that she merely interacts with in her everyday life in America for functional purposes. But other than this, the fate of white people doesn't concern her. At least that's what's happening in her head. What she should understand is that the state of white people determines whether she can afford, drinking that kind of stuff, eating those sundaes as they get interviewed on the streets, living in the society that they live.
It's awful.
No.
Okay, so why is that? Why is it not okay to be white?
Y'all have, the race as a people, y'all have done too much.
As a race of people, we've done too much. We've done a lot of things, that's true, you know?
As a whole.
And it's a group of people.
Too much good or too much bad?
Too much bad.
We've done too much bad. Now, consider all of the tribal wars between African nations, African tribes. It's very likely that more violence has been committed in the sum of history of black people than was ever committed by white people. You know, white people were entering nations, trying to take over these nations in a very top-down way, you know, through colonialism. They didn't even have the practice of genociding the local people. Whereas this has been happening again and again, probably for millions of years, on the continent of Africa. But she's never going to interpret the tribal wars between black people in Africa as being, oh, your race has done too much violence. Because she's not thinking of herself as part of the African race in Africa. She's thinking of herself of, here I am in the American Empire benefiting from it, and I can just bash on white people because no one is going to ever call me out on it.
The majority is not.
Is like bottom of the barrel, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Should we be judging people based on the content of their character and not the color?
You know, whites being at the bottom of the barrel. If that was true, we would see whites in the dating sphere, in the dating market, they would be at the bottom of the barrel. They would be the less desirable selections. They're not. So she has created a false narrative in her head that the top is the bottom and the bottom is the top. That's all she could do.
Color of their skin?
No, you need the color of skin is very important.
It is important. By the way, do you agree with her?
Yes, she does. I have a black son. I don't want my son come home with no white woman. At all. He no.
She has a black son. She doesn't want him to come with no white hoe.
Better.
Do you tell him that?
Yes.
How old's your son?
21.
And he's not allowed to date?
Not, he could date who he want, but they can't.
Her son is 21.
Can't come in my house, and I'm not going to have no parts of it. I don't want no mixed babies. I want a black baby, grandchild. That's what I want.
Only 53% of black Americans said yes to that poll. Mm. Does that surprise you or no?
No. Black people are really racist.
Is that okay?
And there you have, black people are really racist from her own mouth. And it's true. I mean, the surveys show that if you're looking for racism in America, the black population is a population where you'll find it in a much higher percentage. Goway says she means the bottom of the barrel morally. Not everything is about sex, JF. Everything is about sex. And even if they were the bottom of the barrel morally, wouldn't people be disgusted? Like, if white people are terrible morally, why would you want to go out with a white person? I think that she has created a fake reality in her head, however you want to interpret her statements. Kiss my ass, Credit Suisse wife Lizzie Asher flashes butt amid $54 billion bailout. So, of course, when these corporate circles are getting this free money, the party begins. Lizada Trindade Asher was snapped by fashion industry Bible Woman's Wear Daily, cheekily flashing her butt for the camera. Our banking insider interpreted the gesture for those of us who didn't go to Wharton. Looming global financial catastrophe threatening to upend the lives of ordinary people everywhere. Kiss my ass. Ezra is a managing director at the Zurich-based bank, which has a U.S. base on Madison Avenue. So they're making parties, of course, because they just learned that their bank would be saved somehow. So there's still more money coming in. Oh, yeah, the party goes on. Alimer sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, does this sound correct to you? Guy was saying Korea has a 0.8% fertility rate, and that means every 100 Koreans are producing 6.6 great-grandchildren, or a 95% population collapse in 100 years. Can you confirm or deny the math? It was the first few minutes of Dutton's last show. The thing is, when you talk about fertility rate, I believe that's a yearly rate. So you say Korea. What are we talking about? South Korea? South Korea fertility rate. The thing with these worries is there's nothing. You're not going to keep a value of a low fertility rate over 100 years. That is the crazy assumption in all this. I mean, I can look into the detail to determine like what is true in these numbers, what is not. But ultimately, suppose these numbers are true. Let's start with this. Suppose these numbers are true. Do you really think that there will be a continued reduction of the population and that no one will be there to exploit it, that no one will be there to say, oh, well, now there's all these apartments that are empty. There's all these houses going away for $50. And now I can buy land for $1,000. Do you really think that this will go on until the whole population just disappears? It's insane. It's like it's social engineers thinking that a number at a given time of humanity is necessarily the number that will be maintained. Systems of change in the reproduction rate are unsustainable by definition. Whether they go down or up, they're going to have a backlash to them. And the evolutionary backlash for Asian nations will come sooner rather than later. Because, of course, they're overpopulating super small countries with millions and millions of people, and life becomes hard, and people change their reproductive strategy, and some of those genes they were adapted to an ancient world, and now the world is overpopulated. Now they make the wrong decisions for themselves. All of this gets corrected by evolution. The next generation of Koreans show up. They've been selected from the people who still in an overpopulated area were aggressively breeding. And they will in turn aggressively breed in whatever area they find themselves in. So Alimer says, I'm just asking if the numbers are correct without intervention. That is the most dangerous thing you can say, sir. Don't confound nature doing its work with intervention. Because your question is loaded. It's loaded with an assumption that if we are presented with numbers that if continued into the future would be bad, then therefore we must intervene. That is not the case. Nature self-stabilizes. DK Shadow has it. He says the system will self-stabilize either a new equilibrium or extinction. Exactly. So looking at Al Jazeera, I mean, I just Googled quickly to see if those numbers are correct. South Korea breaks record for world's lowest fertility again. The number of babies expected per woman in South Korea dropped to 0.78 last year, down from 0.81 a year earlier. So, that means that currently, the breeding rate of South Korean women is below replacement rate. Now, we have to take some things into account here. There is immigration going on. South Korean women are beautiful and everyone wants to fuck them. And many of them find themselves outside of South Korea. They don't get included in the birth rate of the fertility of South Korean women. If they have fully immigrated to another nation, they will not be counted, yet their genes will keep spreading. And perhaps some of their second generation, first generation immigrants, second generation immigrants, could eventually come back to South Korea. So it's not necessarily... The numbers that you see doesn't fully represent the kind of racial health, the racial reproductive health. Now, okay, it's still a very low number, and so we could argue no matter what my small comment here means, it probably doesn't correct up to replacement rate. Now, do you know how long it is before a slightly off replacement rate gets fixed, gets to an extinction event? It is fucking long. Because for every generation, the families that have had the genes that were allowing them to make babies in this environment are overrepresented into the genetic composition of the next generation. So evolution is already happening on first generation. Takes one or two generations before you will have a complete reversal of this trend. If you don't fight against it, if you don't try to keep it artificially through other means. So So the question is not so much as, do we need to intervene so that South Korean women increase their birth rate, their fertility? No, it's, should we remove any of the interventions that we're doing that are causing this current situation? And that, and then what can we do to ensure that nature does its work here? Because nature will come to a solution by its own. And anyways, the world is super overpopulated. It's ridiculous to be trying to maintain current world population. It is absolutely ridiculous. So I reject these concerns of yours and whoever was expressing them on Edward Dutton. It is an absolute fallacy to be taking a current birth rate, to be extrapolating it within 100 years in the future, especially when you know that the natural correction against this birth rate is in the inverse sense. Like, if you were to talk to me and say, Jeff, let's look at the birth rate of first generation Muslim migrants in Canada or in the US. Here you have a situation where maybe your extrapolations into the future will be valid, because there's no mechanism of nature to make them stop making babies. But there is a mechanism of nature to make South Korean women start making babies. And that is evolution. That is natural selection. So always be careful when you take bets, when you gamble against nature. Because that's what you're doing, Alimer. You are gambling against nature by simply assuming that the mechanism of self-correction will not be in the sense of natural selection, they will be in the sense of extinction. Never gamble against nature. Blanket says, Jeff, have you ever found a four-leaf clover before? I don't know. When we were young, we were trying to find those a lot. I can say that I've sifted through a lot of clovers. And it's my impression that there would be clovers at some point. They would all be four-leaf clovers. It wouldn't be a rare thing. And then there were other patches where, where finding the four-leaf clover was a tough thing. I've never understood if even the four-leaf clovers that I've identified, because I was young, and I was like, is that what they mean by a four-leaf clover? Because here's a million of them. What the fuck? So I've never known if, first, is it true at all that four-leaf clovers are rare? And second, the things that I've seen that had four leaves, were they clovers? Because it does seem that it's not particularly spectacular. Go Away says, Jeff, I have had zero children over the last 30 years. If this trend continues for another 50 years, will my lineage die off? Depends on how old you are, because if you tell me you had zero children over the last 30 years, but you're 80 years old, maybe you've had children before. If you've had children before, then your lineage will not die off. John Drake says, correctly predict what will happen in 100 months first. Yeah, correctly predict anything before you start going after natural selection in South Korea. Elon Musk says, Twitter will open source all code used to recommend tweets on March 31st. That is a major advance. I'm super happy about it. Because we need to know, what are they tweaking? Just how many categories of people are being, shadow banned? What are the things that can affect your account? And that will allow for everyone to know with some transparency. And the most important thing in this is not even that we know. It's that I want the people working on this code at Twitter to know that their work will be public. Because when you know that your work will be public, you're a little more shy about making these dirty moves that the ancient Twitter administration was pulling. So I'm super happy about it. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, what is your opinion on fluoride in toothpaste? You know, I think it's the whole fascination with it is overdone. But I don't fight against it because I don't think it's a bad thing that there's fluoride in the toothpaste. I think that if anything, if there's any risk with fluoride, you might as well put it in the toothpaste rather than in the fucking drinking water. I think that fluoride should be seen as a nutrient additive. And I don't think it should be thought of as a public health measure for teeth. I think that ultimately you're probably going to get enough of that fluoride if you live a normal life, but in the very artificial life of cities, they are facing the problem where they eat Cheetos, they don't have natural sources. I'm sure I get my dose of fluoride just eating dirt while I build my greenhouse. I'm sure I get a lot of natural thing just from the fact that I live a natural human life. So I have no strong position on fluoride being bad. But I think I would side with The Hunter-Gatherer's Guide to the 21st Century by Heather Heyer and Brett Weinstein. And I would say there is, see the attribution I just did? See what I did there? I would say that we have to be careful about engineering and changing the world. You know, there was no fluoride in our drinking sources for most of human history, unless there was some accidentally in the river or in the wells that we were, you know, digging. And so we should be alarmed at the fact that we do this systematically to cities. And when you look at the level of knowledge we have about pharmaceutical interventions, like the COVID vaccine, and you realize they don't know shit about what they're doing, it makes you question a lot about fluoride. Like, would we ever know if fluoride is bad? And possibly the problem is, Maybe when they introduced fluoride, maybe they would have killed some people, let's say. Let's just hypothesize. So you introduce fluoride, you kill a bunch of people who are city dwellers. Now, the people in the city become naturally selected to resist survival to fluoride. But the problem is there are some people who live on the land, in the countryside, whose... It will be the first time for this lineage that they send one of their children to the big city. Let's say they got a job in the big city. Now, these people are running a risk that would not appear readily to a scientific study, but they would have effectively been killed by fluoride. So because of this kind of thinking, I don't like it. I say stay away from the city. And on top of it, when there are a basic... basic studies being done that are correlative, because we don't have perfect studies, because they've destroyed the control group largely. You know, the same thing they did with vaccines. But when we do the studies that we can do, which are correlative studies about where you live and about whether there's lots of wells where you live or whether you have city water with fluoride, there is definitely an advantage to living in the countryside. And it is sometimes attributed to fluoride and to the fact of well water being better. And some people have hypothesized maybe it's something else in the well water. Maybe it's lithium being higher concentration in the well water than in the city water. Could be any, and people are basically self-administering lithium as they drink water from the ground naturally. Maybe, but maybe it's fluoride also. Blankets, or maybe it's just the lifestyle. Maybe living in the countryside, that I would have no doubt at all that it must contribute. Perhaps there is just living in the countryside reduces your anxiety. Because there is lower anxiety in places where there are water wells. So, but the city is so stressful in so many ways, one has to wonder, is it really the fluoride or is it the city life? blanket. In any case, as I've often said, I've adopted this strategy with the vaccine. I've adopted this strategy with so many things. Don't ask yourself, what is the true cause of... correlation is not equal causation. Ask yourself. You may never know the structure of causality on planet Earth. Life is too complicated. Ask yourself, how can I expose myself to the positive correlates? Because if you move to the countryside, you're going to drink well water from nature, and you're not going to have fluoride, and you're going to be benefiting from any anti-anxiety effect of living in nature. Does it really matter what is the true cause? My attitude as I got older is just magnetize the correlates. If I see that unvaccinated people are doing good and homeschooled people are doing good emotionally and they're intelligent and performant, I'm going to stick to that lifestyle. I don't really care if the cause is this or that, or there's a part of the cause that's the teacher, there's a part of the cause that's the parent, there's a part of the cause that's the water and the fluoride. I don't care. I'm going to adopt the correlative lifestyle that is correlated with the most goodness for human beings. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, have you ever sunned your balls? Well, one thing that is one of the great secrets of my public life is that since the public space days and even a little bit before, once I began my streaming career, I've been streaming without pants, and without underwear for now about 6 years. 6 years of full-time exposure of my balls to the bright white light of the soft boxes of my studio. And so to me, I've taken sun tanning to a totally other level. And I think that at this point, sun tanning might actually be diluting away the effect, because I prefer artificial lighting on my balls. Blanket says, Jeff, what is probably your least favorite holiday? Basically, any holiday that is annoying. The most annoying holidays are the ones I'm most annoyed by. So I guess, what is the most annoying one? I don't know. I both love it and I find it annoying. Probably Thanksgiving in the United States, because of this whole moment where people are like, I want to give thanks to this. I want to give thanks to that. But at the same time, I love the tradition. I think it's super great. I think it's great to take a moment to give thanks. But it's kind of cringy. I'm kind of annoyed by, oh, now it's my turn to speak. Well, I am thankful for... I guess it doesn't fit my personality. I don't like this kind of set social rule where, okay, we're going to do the same thing we did last year again. Speaker's Corner says, when was the last time you had a beach holiday, JF? A beach holiday? Never, probably. But we do go, me and Mama JF, in nature and sometimes to the ocean. So yes, but not a holiday. Trump posts on Facebook for the first time since 2021. He said, I'm back. Well, I'm not super enthusiastic, but it's good that he got his Facebook back. But at this point, can Trump meme on Facebook? Can it be worth anything for him? Is he stuck at Truth Social, stuck prioritizing Truth Social? We'll see. But we still haven't seen him on Twitter. So I think Trump may be stuck in an impossible position here. First Republic Bank shares crash to record low on share sell report for For a few brief hours yesterday, some market participants breathed a sigh of relief as the big banks threw $30 billion of deposits to the small banks, specifically First Republic Bank, and saved the world. Today wrecked that dream as regional bank shares continued their recent and rapid demise, with First Republic Bank, which had just been saved, leading the charge lower. Look at this. The deposit bailouts come, raise the price, and we're down to the same point we were before the deposit bailouts. So basically, that's because they are announcing that even in the face of very low prices on the market, they will have to get rid of shares. They will have to sell themselves away because they need liquidity, they need money. So that is the current situation. The after-hours action has pushed FRC to a record low below its October 2011. Boom! Look at this. $220, $170, $140. Boom! $15. You'll never see Bitcoin do this. Bitcoin isn't doing this in the next 100 years. And you have these people are out there saying, oh, Bitcoin is high variation. It's high variation up, you fucking idiot. Bitcoin has never crashed that way. Never, never. There's never been a time where I can get Bitcoin back at 5 cents. Yeah! It never dropped in its history, and it will never drop as much as this. From $220 to $15. That's a 100x. That's a 10. That's a 20x drop. 20x drop. You're never going to get an opportunity to buy Bitcoin at a 20x rebate. USVI lawsuits makes stunning allegation. Jamie Dimon knew in 2008 that Jeffrey Epstein was a sex trafficker. So the guy from JP Morgan, according to these claims, the thing is, it's not your responsibility to, if you're in a corporate relationship, it's not your responsibility to pursue a criminal case with some loose knowledge. Oh, well, he knows that he was a sex trafficker. What does that mean? Maybe he didn't have enough information to be relevant to the police. You know, sometimes you may be fed some information like, hey, Jeffrey Epstein is a pedophile. But if you have nothing to prove it, if you have to keep treating Jeffrey Epstein like he's a regular guy. Like, you can't deny him business because someone told you he's a sex trafficker. And sometimes you can't go to the police because all you heard is just a hearsay. You have nothing to provide of any use to the police that they could have. So I'm against this kind of post hoc analysis of, well, let's look at these people around. I mean, I guess you could say I'm biased, but it's not even about my bias. It's not even about the fact that I was in contact with Jeffrey Epstein. But I'm against this kind of, oh, let's look back at anyone who ever knew anything about him, and let's find them that somehow they were complicit in Jeffrey's criminal career. Go away, says Jeff. Have you reviewed the arrest of Richard Golden and the 4chan post that led to his arrest? In my opinion, it does not breach the limits of free speech as outlined in several Supreme Court decisions, so will be interesting to see where it goes. Richard Golden, I haven't heard of this story. I can search it. I can search it here on Google. Oh my God, look at this. Following death threats against Florida sheriff in Minecraft. So what you're telling me, I'm just examining the page before I show it on screen because I don't want to be publishing, bad material. But no, okay. So this guy, we have a look at the average 4chaner here. Very interesting. The arrest occurred on March 13th, so that's 4 days ago. And we will have a Supreme Court test. This is what you're telling me. Go away. We're about to get a Supreme Court test of whether the In Minecraft defense can be valid. Well, isn't that fascinating? At the end of his post, Golden added the phrase "in Minecraft." The term is a thinly veiled attempt to avoid legal consequences for making threats of violence and has become commonplace on poll. Yeah, I mean, those are very blurry waters. I cannot tell you for sure that he would be found guilty. It's an interesting case at the very border there, because sometimes you can... there are forms of parody where you find yourself calling for violence, but it's as part of a parodic performance. So I'm thinking, for example, about Dieudonné in France. Dieudonné had made a comic sketch that eventually led to his cancellation by the French establishment, the first sketch that really got people to turn against him, was a sketch in which he was impersonating a fictitious Israeli soldier. If I remember correctly, this is like decades. This is like more than a decade behind in my head. He had been impersonating an Israeli soldier that would have appealed to recruitment, basically to kill Palestinians. And of course, if you take the first degree interpretation of what he was doing, well, he was an Israeli person calling for the death of other people. But this was done for the purpose of a comedic parodic performance that would awaken the audience of the French public to the question of Israeli violence against Palestinians, which ultimately was a call for peace. But a call for peace sometimes can be parodically performed as a call for violence. Now, if this guy, this 4chan guy, Richard Golden, if he has a defense of that kind, I'll be fascinated to see how a jury reacts to it, how it can pass. Because sometimes the normie doesn't understand the extent to which we live on the internet. My generation and the generation younger than us. In fact, mostly younger than us, but I was an early adopter of the internet. And I don't think they fully understand the degree to which we perform our comedy in writing. We have styles of interactions on the internet that are comedic, that are ironic, that are meta-ironic. And I think this is very poorly understood. Perhaps my recommendation here might be like I could be an expert witness and I would be opened to explain 4chan culture to a jury. Of course, they're never going to allow me to do it. So don't hold your breath. It's not happening. But I think this could be explained. I think it could be explained that, look, you know how you would go watch a comedian and the comedian would say weird things? And the comedians would take positions that are truly not his positions. They're the contrary of his position. Well, that thing that you would go see a comedian for, that's irony. And it's the right of every American people to engage in multi-layered irony in written form, in comedic form, as a stand-up or not as a stand-up. and the people who are on 4chan fully understand these things that you may not understand as you look at them. Go away, says JF, even without the in Minecraft, the thing about his post is that he does not threaten any action. He only said that someone should do some action. Says that the Supreme Court says that illegal speech needs to meet an imminent lawless action test. In the US, you can say something like should. Yes, this is an interesting take. I don't know the exact legal precedents there, but it's going to be interesting. It'll keep me updated about this story because I'd like to know where it's headed and how it goes. Typically, the US, although extremely corrupt in its processing of stuff, and although you have leftist places where you end up having ridiculous decisions like those against Alex Jones, typically First Amendment principles have been defended in very deep cases. You know, as we've seen neo-Nazis making it into First Amendment argument and coming on top. Doubting Thomas, and I'm not saying he's a neo-Nazi, that's unrelated. I'm just saying the justice system has been willing to take a lot under the First Amendment. Doubting Thomas says, JF, you mentioned this evening that the world is way overpopulated. What makes you say this? It seems we are not nearly at the Earth's carrying capacity, and current technology and agricultural techniques are enough to keep the vast majority of the world from starving and even comfortable. Well, just go in India and look at how do they call those dumpster cities? There's a term for it. Those ugly cities filled with people. That to me is the point at which space really is lacking. Now you're going to tell me, well, JF, there's a forest there in India and they're not using that space. That's why. Well, the thing is, wherever we are along the scale of taking more space and eventually the space, the slums, that is what they call it. So look at the slums and you're going to see that there's way too much people. Way too much people in certain places of the earth. I'm not claiming that we are at the max, but you don't want to reach the max. ideally, we start putting on the brakes before we hit the brick wall. That would be my statement. And you talk about carrying capacity. You don't want to reach the carrying capacity of the earth. Reaching the carrying capacity of the earth is basically saying you'd be okay with extinguishing all species that don't serve us in some way. Like you'll be taking all of the space to maximally create human life on earth to the detriment of basically every other animal other than pigs and cows, which you're going to let live because you need them. Don't aim for carrying capacity. The question is not carrying capacity. The carrying capacity may be a couple multiples more than the current population of the earth. You should stop expanding world population at least an order of magnitude below the carrying capacity. Because our goal shouldn't be to pack this earth with crap and with the lives that are not worth living, with dirty lives and disorganized societies that veer into chaos and corruption. Candace Owens slam Sam Harris for saying only experts can have opinions on vaccines. Well, the experts have told us the world's gonna end about 10 times since I've been born. The problem is it just keeps not ending, Sam. So response to a clip that we had analyzed yesterday from Sam Harris. Good response by Candace Owen. I mean, Sam Harris doesn't have problems with non-experts sharing thoughts. He has problems with who those non-experts are. And if they're not from his group, then he goes after them. It's as simple as this, because Sam has absolutely no expertise on most of the subjects he covers. Most of the things that he says, he has zero expertise on. So what is he declaring himself? Well, the ultimate selector of the other experts that should be trusted. Oh, I'm not the expert, but I'm selecting good experts. Well, how would you know that? How would you know that you are the best expert selector? Elon Musk hits back at Protect Trans Kids, Democrat Lieutenant Governor. The Lieutenant Governor was saying, when our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them. That's what it means to be a good parent. Elon Musk, absolutely based, comes back and he says, not when they're fed propaganda by adults. Moreover, every child goes through an identity crisis before their personality and identity crystallizes. Therefore, we shouldn't allow severe, irreversible surgery or sterilizing drugs that they may regret until at least age 18. Absolutely agree. Let them do whatever they want to their sexual organs once they are adults. But you don't even let them drink alcohol. Like, by any criteria, a drink of wine is much less hurtful than the potential wrongful sex change that you may regret. You can stop drinking alcohol later. You can't stop the sex change that you've done. It's going to be with you forever. And so let's be decent here. You are potentially ruining the life of someone who's not able to consent to drinking a single drink of alcohol. U.S. government, social media, Stanford University censored true COVID-19 info, according to Twitter files. This has been discussed recently, and there's some new releases by Matt Taibbi. In a chilling irony, the VP ran searches for the term surveillance state as an unaccountable state-partnered bureaucracy secretly searched it out. The idea that vaccines are part of a surveillance state won its own thought crime bucket. It went into conspiracy. So that's how they decide. Well, okay, if someone uses the word surveillance state, it's a conspiracy. It's a COVID conspiracy. You get banned on Facebook. So they were coordinating, and we can see all the emails, the discussions around this. In this case, someone had done Control F, and he was Control F-ing surveillance state. And you see, they identify a tweet by Candace Owens. So they're like, okay, we found these things on platforms. She has that many interactions with them, so it's a priority claim. The claim is that vaccines are part of a surveillance state. It's done by Candace Owen on Twitter and Facebook. And the keywords is surveillance state. So that's how they get to identifying the enemies of the state, the enemies of the COVID narrative, and they shut them down. Well, that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for being with me. I'm excited for this Sunday, for this course on meta-irony, which will be in French. This will be this Sunday, the 19th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Other than this, we'll have tomorrow regular show, and Sunday most likely a regular show, or I might take a break if I'm tired after the Troll Academy course during the afternoon. I'll see if I have anything to say on a regular show. That's it. Bye-bye for tonight. Much love. Doubting Thomas says, JF, the slum cities of India have populations not very different than Tokyo, which has arguably a much higher standard of living. So there seems to be issues beyond just population numbers that leads them to being slums. I fully agree. I fully agree that there may be possible worlds in which properly organized societies can have much higher number of people before things go to crap. But I'm afraid that even a well-organized society, even a European or Asian society, there's a level of people at which after it goes to crap. That's my impression.